Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton, who is likely to be the Democratic nominee, that you are part of the war on women?
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct.
Well, I'm pro-life. I've always been pro-life. And I've got a position I think is consistent with many Americans out there in that I believe that that is an unborn child that's in need of protection out there. And I've said many a time that that unborn child can be protected, and there are many other alternatives that will also protect the life of that mother. That's been consistently proven.
The court has ruled, and I said we'll accept it. And guess what? I just went to a wedding of a friend of mine who happens to be gay. Because somebody doesn't think the way I do doesn't mean that I can't care about them or I can't love them.
Just a few excerpts from the primary debate, the GOP primary debate that was held last night. It was actually two debates. There was kind of a kids' table debate, and then there was the grown-ups debate, although grown-up behavior was in short supply in at least the big Fox News primetime debate. But it did get the ratings, and it had Donald Trump tweeting until about 4:30 this morning in response to the moderators. He was not happy with that. And the real question that I have is on those questions of, say, the Planned Parenthood videos, pro-life issues, abortion, and same-sex marriage, how do the GOP candidates, how do they answer the questions? Did they answer the questions? Joining us for a little bit of a review of the GOP presidential debates last night, Molly Ziegler Hemingway, a senior editor of The Federalist. Molly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's great to be here.
What stood out to you last night in watching those debates?
Well, it was a full night with a lot of things that were interesting for a wide variety of people, but far and away the thing that stood out the most to me last night was Carly Fiorina, and she didn't even appear in the main debate. She was at the earlier debate, but she just outshone every single other person that she was on stage with, even though they were all actually fairly good themselves. And she articulated a really very powerful defense of conservatism, explained how it's different from progressivism. She showed a lot of courage and strength, willingness to take the fight to people who are her opponents, such as Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was just a really breathtaking performance from Fiorina, and it was kind of disappointing, actually, that she wasn't on the main stage as a result. But the debate itself, the main debate, and it wasn't really a debate so much as more like a candidate forum, because people didn't really debate each other too much. But I thought it was just a very interesting debate. And the Fox News moderators, I don't know if people expected this, really asked very tough questions. They figured out where each candidate was most vulnerable, and then they asked people about those vulnerabilities, you know, whether it was Chris Christie and his financial management of the state, Jeb Bush and his support for a Bloomberg Foundation that funds Planned Parenthood, Donald Trump's tone and how he speaks to people who are his opponents and whatnot. And because they asked good questions, they got really interesting responses from everybody as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the issue of abortion, whether it was the subject of the Planned Parenthood videos or abortion in general. How did the GOP candidates, how did they avail themselves of the opportunity to stake out a position there, and what did they say?
Well, one thing that I think you have to think about is that each candidate probably had a prepared thing that they wanted to say in response to a direct question about abortion. And I think everyone expected to get asked a question about Planned Parenthood. And that was one of the things I did find rather disappointing with the moderators in both debates. They didn't really push this issue. And so if people wanted to talk about it, they kind of had to answer about abortion for questions that were not necessarily about abortion. Everyone pretty much articulated pro-life positions, with the exception of George Pataki, who had a very confused response about how he's personally thinks that abortion is the killing of an innocent unborn life, but that if other people want to do it, that's their business. Didn't really make terribly much sense. Everyone else offered some pretty good defenses of life or explained how they became pro-life. You know, even Donald Trump had his, you know, he's not the most articulate person, but he tried to explain how he had become pro-life. Scott Walker talked about his consistent support for life. You know, different candidates had their own responses. Probably the weakest at the main stage was Jeb Bush, who didn't do a very good job of explaining why he sat on the board and approved a budget for a large foundation that gave money and significant amounts of money to Planned Parenthood. That's going to be a question that haunts him a bit.
So who would you say on that issue of Planned Parenthood, since it is the biggest story here of late, who do you think among the people at the main debate actually stood out on in a statement on Planned Parenthood?
I am honestly not sure who had the best response on Planned Parenthood, but I thought that many of the candidates had really good statements, including like Ben Carson had a really beautiful statement about the sanctity of life. I think maybe I would say Marco Rubio might have handled the question the best. He was asked why he thinks that children who are conceived in rape should be allowed to be killed, but not other kids. He said that he didn't think that accurately reflected his position and that he believes that we should, as a culture, value all life from conception on.
Just on a kind of a future-looking question, do you think that moderators will push the Planned Parenthood issue during a future Democratic presidential debate, especially given the fact that the Democrats kind of held the day in the Senate, along with Republican help, blocking defunding for Planned Parenthood?
So one of the things that made this debate so interesting, again, was how tough the questions were, and that it was Fox News, which people sometimes think is this more conservative network or that it helps out Republicans, that they were asking these tough questions. They have made it basically impossible for moderators, or if journalists had any regard for themselves, I should say, they made it impossible for moderators of Democratic debates to not similarly ask tough questions. And I think that we should expect to see questions on Planned Parenthood, and really it would be great if they were phrased in such a way as to avoid boring repetitions of previously conceived talking points. But unfortunately, the media seem to be very interested in protecting Planned Parenthood, so I'm not sure that even though we should see these questions, whether we will. And it also will be interesting to see. I think that I can't help but think that the entire stage, except for, again, maybe George Pataki, was disappointed that they didn't take more advantage of the opportunity to talk about Planned Parenthood, to talk about abortion, to talk about the way we treat the children that are killed in abortion in terms of harvesting their organs and selling off their bodies for parts. Nobody really did a particularly good job with this, so I think you're going to see them anxious to do a better job in the future.
Did the issue of homosexual marriage come up in last night's debates?
This is one of the most disappointing things, I thought, too. Someone asked, Kasich, I always mispronounce his name, who's the governor of Ohio, about his views on marriage, and he began by saying something like, oh, I'm old-fashioned, and that's why I used to think that, I'm old-fashioned, and that's why I do think that marriage should be between a man and a woman, but I totally accept the Supreme Court decision, and also I just went to a gay wedding, and it was craven, and it was so servile, and it just showed no principle. I mean, there are ways to answer that question where you could say all of those things without coming off so cowardly. And he didn't do it in any of those cases. On the other hand, he did show that opposition to same-sex marriage in no way has, it doesn't mean that you're disliking your friends or family members who are gay. It just means you have a different opinion on what marriage is and how it should be defined and what the role of the state is. So if that helps at all, maybe that's good for people to see.
To your recollection, did anybody else chime in on that subject?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few others, I think, who did, and I am sorry that I'm not remembering who else talked about same-sex marriage and religious liberty, but it must have been Ted Cruz who also chimed in on this and talked about the importance of protecting. Oh, and also Rand Paul talked about how people need to have their religious freedom protected, particularly since the Supreme Court decision has now redefined marriage as an institution that can include same-sex couples. People who have religious objections to that need to be protected in this country. So both Cruz and Paul willingly went into that fray, which shows that they are ready and prepared to fight against religious persecution.
So in their responses, there was a line drawn between the dots of the Supreme Court decision of the Obergefell decision and the future of religious liberty or the free exercise of religion in the United States.
Right, and I think that'll be a big issue in the campaign to come, and in fact is a big vulnerability for candidates on the other side, for Democratic candidates. Because of the way that Obergefell was decided, and if you remember that the majority opinion doesn't even mention the First Amendment to the Constitution, has like a paragraph sort of mentioning that, oh yes, you should be able to believe, it doesn't even say you should be able to act on the belief, but like you should be able to believe differently than what this ruling says. Each of the four justices who dissented raised First Amendment concerns over that majority decision, and they sounded the alarm loudly. That each of the four justices who dissented said that should be a real strong signal about how big of a fight this is going to be in the years to come. And that includes the years leading up to just this next presidential election. So candidates who are aware of that concern, and also that, you know, one of the things is, regardless of what people's views are on how marriage should be defined, it is a very popular view in America right now that regardless of those views, religious objections should be protected. And so candidates need to weigh in on this.
Two final questions for you, Molly. What did we learn last night from the debates?
Well, I think we see a real diverse field. We saw people who have differences. I thought that, for instance, there was a debate between Chris Christie, who is in support of government surveillance, and Rand Paul, who thinks that it can violate the Constitution to have broad surveillance powers given to the government. You have a real, you know, real differences of opinion on surveillance, on education, on foreign policy, on marriage, on abortion. You see this whole range of disagreements. And I think that for many people, and this was a very popular debate, something like 24 million people watched it. It might be as popular as anything other than a sporting event. And that this was just the first Republican primary debate is fascinating, that many people are interested in it. But I think people are really anxious to kind of hash out some of these issues and get a good candidate who I think they sense that things might not be going the way in the country that they would like, and they want to see someone who's really able to take on not just a Democratic opponent, but kind of the cultural elite, the media elite that are also in opposition to Republicans. And so what that told us last night is people want to see this. They're anxious to see how these Republican candidates perform under pressure, and they're anxious to hear more information.
You mentioned at the outset the clear winner, which actually didn't appear in the main stage debate. Was there someone who shouldn't have bothered to show up?
No, I don't know. I really thought that it was interesting to see everybody. Some people said that they thought that Ben Carson didn't look like he belonged there. I actually thought he was really interesting. Every time he said something, I wanted to hear more. He was thoughtful. He was almost like more deliberate with what he was saying. So I was happy to see everyone there. I do wonder how, you know, we haven't talked about Donald Trump. I wonder how his performance played. Like, to be totally honest, I actually found it kind of fun to watch him. He had these zingers and one-liners, and you know, he's totally his normal brash self. But he kind of started off the debate by announcing that he was more than willing to do a third-party run. And I think a lot of Republicans, that probably didn't go very well for him. And then if he didn't have zingers or insults, he really didn't have terribly much at all. And they gave him an opportunity to really support his position, like really go in depth on any of his views. And he was completely unable or unwilling to do that in any case. So I think that he might not have performed as well as he needed to keep his front runner status.
Can you explain that to me real quick? Why it is going into this debate, Donald Trump, among at least one poll, had him polling way ahead of everyone else with evangelicals who were Republican-leaning. Can you explain that at all with about a minute here?
You know, I actually think I can. I think what you're seeing there is that people are sick to death of an impotent and ineffective Republican Party. They love that he doesn't care when he gets called on his politically incorrect speech. And they just also find him very entertaining. I think that the Republican Party would be unwise to not accurately understand what that's about. I think people just want a candidate who's willing to fight, who doesn't care so much about being liked among the media types and being liked among the establishment, and who is bold and willing to fight. And so obviously Donald Trump doesn't have much substance and he's like a total huckster, but I think that he is enjoyable, he's entertaining, and he's unafraid. And I think that other candidates would do well to emulate some of those traits, actually.
Folks, be sure to subscribe to daily email updates and stories from The Federalist. Go to the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org, click The Federalist and subscribe, and enter your email address. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a senior editor for The Federalist. Molly, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us this afternoon.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, part four of a weekly series on the sexual revolution. Today, we're going to talk about two related things: cohabitation, that is, living together apart from marriage, and the usual outcome of cohabitation at the other end of the spectrum, divorce. We'll be right back.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. ClassicalSpecialNeeds.com.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.